We're holding on Dalet Omer Aleph, seven lines from the top. We were discussing the question before of according to now again, the beginning of the Gemara had presented two different opinions why you have the din in our Mishnah that when a shliach brings a get from Medina Sayam, from a place outside Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, or we continued in the Mishnah the possibility that also within Chutz La'aretz and so forth. Anyway, that he should have to declare b'fanei nichtam, b'fanei nechtam, it was written and it was signed in my presence. So we had two reasons for that. Rabba's reason was because the people in Chutz La'aretz are not familiar with all the dinim of Gittin, including in particular the fact that it has to be written Lashma. So there's this concern that it may not have been written Lashma, or that either the Beis Din didn't know they have to write it Lashma, or that the husband may not know, at least, that it has to be written Lashma, and therefore he may pick up a get that was written for practice, or that was written by somebody else for his wife or whatever, and try to use it for himself, and that would be possible. And Rava's reason had been because in case the husband challenges the validity of the get and claims that claims that he wrote it for practice, or that the Edim's signature is a forged or what have you, we should be able to have somebody come and validate it by saying b'fanei nechtam. In effect, he's validating that these signatures are the actual signatures of the people whose names they bear. So we've been discussing since the beginning of the ins and outs of those various opinions. The last thing we discussed was the point of, according to Rabba's reason, so there it comes out, according to Rabba's reason, that the get has to be written Lashma and it has to be signed Lashma. Because that's the point. He's saying that's why you have to say b'fanei nechtam, why you have to make both halves of the declaration is because you need it to have been written Lashma and also signed Lashma. The problem with that is, we said then, that our Mishnah doesn't seem to go according to either of the Tanoim whose opinions we knew on the subject. We knew of Reb Meir's opinion and Reb Elazar's opinion. Reb Meir holds that the writing does not have to be done Lashma, so according to him, it shouldn't be necessary to say b'fanei nechtav. And Reb Elazar holds that the signatures aren't even necessary, because according to him, it's perfectly valid without signatures written in the document at all. It's called Edim Misira Kauti. He holds that it's the Edim who observe when it's being handed over, that are the ones that accomplish the cutting off. They're the ones who accomplish that the get becomes valid. So according to him, the get is valid even without signatures written in it at all. So therefore, according to him, the signatures on the face of it don't have to be done Lashma. So then what's the problem? So according to him, you shouldn't have to say b'fanei nechtam. So if you're having to say b'fanei nechtam and b'fanei nechtam, then who are you following? So the last answer we gave was that we said it could actually be like Reb Elazar, because Reb Elazar would say, fine, it's one thing if there are no signatures in it at all, but if there are signatures and they're no good, as for example in this case where they were written shalom l'shma, or other examples would be if they were posel edim or what have you, then Reb Elazar would say that's even worse than having no edim at all, and therefore that's more reason to posel to get. Tosfos over here and Rashi later on in the Perek discuss various reasons why that should be. Rashi later on says that the reason is because what happens if the husband figures, let's say for example they were posel edim. So let's say he's going to figure, well, I don't care that they were posel. Like this, Reb Elazar is saying to begin with, we don't care that they're posel as long as the edim misira are kosher. But the husband may eventually get confused and think, well, if these edim are signed in the thing, why not just give it to her in their presence and have done with it, and not bear in mind that those edim were posel and therefore it's no good. So therefore, that would be a reason to posel it according to Reb Elazar, midrabanan, because of that concern. Tosfos over here makes a different point the point is that you might never mind that forget about who it might be given in front of, but you might think that then you're going to rely on such edim who are posel or whatever and allow her to remarry based on their testimony that she's divorced, where in fact they can't because they're psula edims. So whatever the case, the point is, so we had one answer to that, therefore, that our Mishnah could go like Reb Elazar, and that Reb Elazar would say that having signatures that are no good, in this case, that they were Shalor Lishma, is worse than having no signatures at all. So now, seven lines from the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara continues. Rav Ashi, or Mahamani Rav Yehudi, Rav Ashi gives a different answer. You could say there's a third Tana that our Mishnah could go like. Our Mishnah could go like Rav Yehuda, Ditnan, as we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta. or actually later on in our perek, really, Rabbi Yehuda Poisel Ad Shtekzi Vasi Vachzi Masi Betolush. We had, before we discussed the point that Rabbi Meir would say that if the get was written while it was attached to the ground, one of the 10 things that passels a get d'oraisa is if it's written on something attached to the ground. So Rabbi Meir would say, though, that since he doesn't care that the writing is done l'shma, as long as according to him the signatures are signed l'shma, then according to him it can be written attached to the ground, and then you can detach it and then sign it, and that would be fine. Rabbi Lozo, vice versa, we had said, doesn't care about the signatures, but Rabbi Yehuda says that both the writing and the signatures have to be done betolush, have to be done when it's detached, implying that according to him, both the writing, both the actual text of the get and the signatures both have to have all the dinim of a get, including that they have to be lishma. Therefore, our Mishnah, Rabbah's understanding of the din in our Mishnah, b'fanenechtem, being based on the idea of them not being familiar with the Shema, then therefore, according to him, that works out very nicely. Then we're saying that, according to him, you need b'fanenechtem, because that's Rabbi Yehuda would say that you need that in fact, both of those things have to be done l'shma. Tosfos, by the way, points out, if it's written betolush, how is it going to be able to be signed by mechuber anyway, that Rabbi Yehuda should even need to mention it? Why is Rabbi Yehuda mentioning until that only if sivose vachsi mose, only if the writing and the signature is done betolush? Once the writing was done betolush, how is the signature going to be done by mechuber? And the answer is, Tosfos says, let's say you could have, for example, that he wrote the get on a trunk of a tree that was not attached to the ground at that point. Then he planted it, and it got rooted in the ground, and then the Edim signed on it. So then that would be an example. The writing was done betolush, but the signatures were done by Mechuber, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's possible. Very well then. So Rabbi Yehuda would be the one who says that you need both the writing and the chasima to have all the dinim of a get, including that it needs to be lishma. Okay, so the Gemara asks, why did we not originally use this answer? Why did we have to wait until Rav Ashi comes along and gives us this answer? The earlier Amiroim, after all, knew of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as well. It's in a Mishnah, and the Amiroim knew all the Mishnayos. So why didn't we, to begin with, give that answer instead of trying to give a doichak answer that would make it according to Rabbi Lazar? The answer is, Mahadrinan Arab Meir. There's two possibilities. Either we wanted to try to make the Mishnah work like Rabbi Meir, the Stamas Nisan Rabbi Meir, because after all, a Stam Mishnah is usually like Rabbi Meir, and therefore we have good reason to assume that our Mishnah should be like Rabbi Meir, or Mahadrinan Arab Lazar to Kaimalon Hilchsakabaseba Gittin, or we would prefer to go like Rabbi Lazar to say that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Lazar, because we know that the halacha is like him in this din of Gittin, this din that we're saying that the signature. That doesn't even matter if there's no signatures in the get at all, as long as if there's no signatures in the get at all, as long as it's given in the presence of valid Edim Asira Kauti, the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar in that, and therefore we would rather say that our Mishnah, which is giving a halacha, should also be like him. Rather than, so either that or a mayor, the Stam Mishnah or a mayor, rather than Rabbi Yehuda, where then that would require us to say that the halacha is not necessarily going to be like our Mishnah, and we'd prefer not to do that. Tosfos discusses the point, when we say the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar in Gittin, does that mean only in Gittin? Now there are Rishonim who learn that way. The Rif learns that din is only by Gittin. He holds it would not apply to other shtaris. Other shtaris, you do have to have Edim signed in them. On the other hand, Tosfos over here discusses and says that no, as a matter of fact, the halacha would be like Rabbi Lazar with other shtaris as well. We would always say Edim is Sira Kauti, and even if there are no Edim signed in the shtar, it would still be kosher as long as it was given in the presence of Edim. Practically speaking, like we learned before, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, in order to keep society running smoothly, we want to have Edim signed in the get or in whatever other shtar, because otherwise, if you're only going to depend on Edim who saw it being given, what happens when those Edim die or are out of town or whatever? We may not have any proof that the shtar or the get or whatever is valid. So therefore, much better to have kosher Edim signing it. But that's a practical consideration rather than a consideration al-pi halacha. Okay.
So the halacha is you don't need signatures. It's right, better so to have them, but it's not
Right. So according to the Rif, that din is only by Gittin, not by other shtaris. According to Tosfos, and then according to Tosfos and many other Rishonim, that is true of other shtaris as well. Yes. Okay.
So, and what's the halacha on that last point?
So that halacha is like that. That it is the halacha is certainly by Gittin. It is kosher by other shtaris in general. When we have a machlokas Rishonim, as you know, we usually don't have a way of reconciling and saying that's it. Because you always have the different opinions. In particular, in Dine Mominus, much more than in other areas of Halacha, you always have the possibility that a person, you always have, given that we know the Dine is Hamotz Mechaber al Varaya, you need a proof in order to take away money from a person to give to somebody else. So you have, in particular, in Dine Mominus, in Dine of Choshen Mishpat, you very often have where a litigant in Beis Din can say, Kin Li, I hold like such and such an opinion, and therefore you want to claim that money should be taken away from me, then you need to bring proof that halacha is not like that. So that may well be the case over here, where, for example, if a malver were to bring a shtar that doesn't have edim signed in it, the loiva might well be able to claim, Kim Li, I hold like the Rif, that by other shtaris you need to have signatures, and therefore your shtar is possible, and unless the other guy can prove the halacha is not like the Rif, then he may not have any recourse. With Dine Isser V'Heter, such as Gittin, we don't have that concept of Himli.
So for Karka, what do you need signatures or not?
Doesn't really matter. It's not a matter of Karka versus, the same thing would be by Karka and by Metalpolin. You would have the same thing. When it comes to Dine Mominus, you would have that situation where a person presumably could say, Kimli, I hold like the Rif. And therefore, if you want to say the halacha, therefore, if you want to claim and if you want to be able to claim money from me based on this shtar of yours, then you better be able to prove that. Then you better be able to prove that it's not like that. So
the other guy can say Kim Lee too. Is it you prove that the halacha is like you?
Okay, I'm Motzi Mechaber L'Varaya. You want to prove you want to be able to take money from me away from me based on your shtar. Then bring proof that the halacha is that shtar would be a valid shtar. All right, anyway, let's go on. This point of Edim Masira Karti, in particular, we're going to talk about it towards the end of the Masechta. We're going to have a great deal of discussion about that. So then we can get into that point. We can get into that point further, Bez Hashem. Okay. Getting back now to Rabba and Rava's reasons. So let's see. The Gemara says, Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see which of the two possibilities our Mishnah fits with better. We said in our Mishnah, Rav Gamliel, so first we have the Tanna Kamma says that if a person brings a get from Medina Sayyam, he has to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. Then we had Rav Gamliel, oima afa mevi mina rekam mina cheger. Rav Gamliel had said that even if a person brings from rekam and cheger, which we said are cities on the border of Eretz Yisrael, on the southeastern border, or maybe the southwestern border, or maybe the northeastern border, whatever it is, Rav Gamliel had said that such places you have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. And we said Rebbe Eliezer Omer Afilu Mekfar Ludim LeLud, and Rebbe Eliezer says even if you bring a get from Kfar Ludim to Lud, then you would also have to say Befana Nechta Befana Nechta. And VaOmer Abaya, and Abaya explains what is the idea behind their machlokas. Why is the Tanakama? The Tanakama implicitly is saying by not mentioning these things, the Tanakama is implicitly saying that you don't have to say Befana Nechta Befana Nechta if you're bringing from Rekem and Cheger. And similarly, Rem Gamliel does not hold if you bring from Kfar Ludim to Lud. It sounds like only Rav Gamliel was saying from Rekem and Cheger, and Rabbi Eliezer is adding not only from Rekem and Cheger, but also from Kfar Ludim Lamud. So what is the actual machlokas? Says Abaya, by Yoris Hasmuchas LaEretz Yisrael Umavlois Betchum Eretz Yisrael Askinim. What we're dealing with is cities that are near Eretz Yisrael and are also embedded within the border of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you think of it, borders don't go in straight lines always. You have many times you'll have borders go in and out, and you can have areas, as we talk about on Daf Beis, you can have areas that like are peninsulas of Chutzlaretz that stick out into Eretz Yisrael. So those areas stick out and on two or three sides, they're surrounded by territory and towns of Eretz Yisrael, but they're actually part of Chutzlaretz. So now, in other words, what happens is Rekem and Cheger are smuchos, they're near Eretz Yisrael, they're not muvlois, they're not surrounded by Eretz Yisrael territory on most sides, they're only smuchos, and Rav Gamliel was saying, very nice, they're smuchos, they may be next to Eretz Yisrael, but the fact is they are in Chutz La'aretz, therefore they have the din of Chutz La'aretz, and you have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta. And Rebbe Eliezer is saying that even Kfar Ludim, where Kfar Ludim is not only smuchos, it's not only near Eretz Yisrael, it's even muvlois, it's even one of these kinds of things, which is surrounded on three sides by Eretz Yisrael territory, and still Rebbe Eliezer is saying that nevertheless it's still part of Medina Seyam. Because Rebbe Eliezer is saying, the fact is, it may be right next to Eretz Yisrael, it's smuchos, it's muvlois, all those good things. Nonetheless, the fact is, it's not in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, the dinu b'fanei nechtam applies. So we see, in other words, what we have is a three-way machlokes. The Tanakhama is saying that there's only the Tanakhama is saying Medina Sayam for this purpose is only places that are not next to Eretz Yisrael, that are far away. Medina Sayam literally means places that are by the sea or even overseas. Rabbi Gamliel is saying even when they're smuchos, as long as they're not muvlois, then they're also considered chutz la'aretz. And Rabbi Eliezer was saying, even if they're both smuchos and muvlois, then they're considered chutz la'aretz. And the Gemara continues, I want you to realize how close Kfar Ludim is to Lud. V'omar Rabbi Babachana, l'yidi chazi li'ahu asra. Rabbi Babachana says, I personally saw that area of Kfar Ludim and Lud. V'havi Kimi Bay Kuvi la Pumbedissa, it was equivalent to the distance between Bay Kuvi and Pumbedissa, which are two places in Bavel that the Chachamim of Bavel would be familiar with. How far are those places? So the Gemara over here doesn't say. There's a Rashi in Masechta Sukkah that says that those places are six parsa apart. Six parsa being about 2.5-3 miles, then you're talking about six parsa would be somewhere around 15 to 18 miles. In fact, there was quite a bit of discussion among Achronim where exactly Rashi gets that from. Rashi doesn't give a source over there where he gets that information from. And from our Gemara, it seems to be Mashma less than that, they're fairly close together. Close enough that it could be conceivably considered part of Eretz Yisrael, according to the Chachamim, and only Rabbi Eliezer is saying otherwise. So in fact, there is an explanation. In fact, the Orach HaNer in Sukkah says over there that maybe there's a mistake in the text of Rashi. Instead of six parasa, maybe it's supposed to say 1/6 of a parasa. In that case, then you're talking only about 0.5 miles or so. And there's different others. There's another possibility. The Maharatz Chayyus says that instead of it's supposed to be 2 parasa, in which case you're talking about something on the order of 5 or 6 miles, which is a lot closer. Whatever the case, the point is that Kfar Ludim is relatively close to Lud, and we're saying it's muvlois. It's actually peninsula of Chutz La'aretz that sticks, or an enclave of Chutz La'aretz that sticks into Eretz Yisrael. And where the Gemara continues, Miklal the Tanakama Sava Hani Leit Sarit. Now, the fact that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer have to mention this point implies that Rabbi Eliezer holds not an that the Tanakama rather holds that it's not an issue. Such places you don't have to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechta. So now let's consider. The Gemara is going to say, can we show then that Rabba's reason and Rava's reason for the whole takana of b'fana nechta maybe depends on this machloikas tanoim? Maybe we would say, my lab b'hokam b'fligi. Shouldn't we say that that's the underlying machlokas? Demar sovar lefisha ein b'kiyin l'shma. So you could say the Tanakama holds the reason for the whole takana of b'fana nechta b'fana nechta is because people in Medina Sayam are not familiar with the din of l'shma. So therefore, hani gmiri. Now, when it comes to people who live in the places that are samuch or the places that are muvla, in Eretz Yisrael, we can assume that those places, people are familiar with the dinim because they're close enough to Eretz Yisrael or even surrounded on all three sides by Eretz Yisrael territory, and therefore they tend to be more learned. You tend to have more chachamim over there, and therefore they're going to be more familiar with the dinim. So you would say the Tanakhama holds like Rabba's reason. Omar Saba, where's Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer, would hold that Lefishain Eidim Mitzuri Lekaimai. They would hold with Rava's reason. The problem in Medina Sayam is because you may not be able to find Eidim. These Eidim sign the get in Medina Sayam. Now the husband is sending it from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, but eventually he may show up in Eretz Yisrael and protest and cast aspersions and claim that the get is not in fact valid, and you won't be able to bring the original Eidim because they're who knows where in Medina Sayam. So according to that, so that you could argue that when it comes to Vahani, when it comes to people who live near Eretz Yisrael, or even in these peninsulas sticking into Eretz Yisrael, Nami like Shechichi, you could say also they may not be commonly visiting enough Eretz Yisrael Actually, Tosfos explains that would really be in Rabban Gamliel's reason. Rabban Gamliel's reason that he mentions smuchos, they may be smuchos, nevertheless, they don't necessarily visit Eretz Yisrael often enough to be mitzuri in the kaima. Rabbi Eliezer's reason would be something else. Rabbi Eliezer would say, sure, mavlois, of course, they're going to be visiting Eretz Yisrael regularly. Their territory is surrounded on three sides by Eretz Yisrael, but he would hold, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that the Chacham didn't want to, as the Gemara is going to say further down on the Amud, the Chacham didn't say yam, because that would get confusing. We know when the Chacham make their takanas, they usually make them across the board. So we could say, though, that the Tanakama holds like Rabba, and Rabban Gamliel holds like Rabba. The Gemara says, loy, not necessarily is that a valid comparison. In fact, you could say Rabba matarits the Tanei, the Rabba matarits the Tanei. In fact, both Rabba and Rabba would each be able to explain the various opinions in the Mishnah according to their respective shittas. Instead of saying that the Tanakama's shitta is only according to Rabba, and Rabban Gamliel's shitta is only according to Rabba, Rabba would be able to explain both the Tanakama and Rabban Gamliel was going according to him, and similarly, Rabba would be able to do the same with his opinion. So let's go through that. Rabba mataritz tamei. Rabba will explain it according to his svara. The idea is de kulei alma. Everybody agrees that the problem is that the people of Medina Sayyam are not familiar with the din of Lishma. So then, in that case, the machlokas over here, between the Tanakama and Rabban Gamliel, where the Tanakama is not going to require people coming from Rekem and Cheger to be able to make this declaration, and Rabban Gamliel will require. So the machlokas is Tanakama Savar. The Tanakama holds since places like Rekem and Cheger, they're close to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the people learn the halachos. They're close enough to Eretz Yisrael that the Chachamim from the mainstream parts of Eretz Yisrael, from the main areas of Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael, visit them often enough, and therefore they come to be knowledgeable in these dinim. So therefore, you shouldn't need to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechta when you bring it from them. But also, Rabban Gamliel the Meimar, Rabban Gamliel comes and says, it's one thing, sure, the places that are embedded within the territory that are where like you could draw a straight line between one part and another part of the border of Eretz Yisrael, and you'll include this area because it's like a peninsula, then fine, you would say those areas, I agree, they're gemiri, those are not, those such places, I agree, they'd be knowledgeable. Therefore, Rabban Gamliel says, sure, if you bring a get from Kfar Ludim, which is an example of such a place, then you want to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechta. But smuchos, when it was just places that are close to Eretz Yisrael and not surrounded on most sides by it, like Miri, they're not necessarily familiar with the dinim of Lashma, and therefore you need to say this declaration. V'osa Rabbi Eliezer l'meima, and then Rabbi Eliezer would come and say, muvlois nami loy, even when it comes to muvlois, you, Rabbi Gamliel, are going to allow muvlois on the grounds that they're familiar with b'fana nechta, that they're familiar with the Lashma, fair enough. But shalai tachlik b'medina sayam. But you don't want to start making distinctions between medina sayam, because then that would get confusing and the whole takana would fall away. So therefore, the chachamim according to Rabbi Eliezer made a blanket rule: any place that is outside the border, the halachic borders of Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fana nechtem, whether it so happens that such a place that is muvlois and the people are familiar or whether not. So therefore, the Rabbah will explain all the opinions in our Mishnah as they're all basing themselves on the idea of not being familiar with Lashma. Then Rava Matarit Tatameh. Rava, meanwhile, will also explain the opinions in the Mishnah according to his Shitta. He'll go as follows. Everybody will agree that the problem is that you can't easily find Edim to validate the signatures. The Tanakama Sobahani, so the Tanakama is going to hold places like Rechem and Cheger, given to Smuchos, since they're near Eretz Yisrael, Mishkach Shuchi, it will be easy enough to get Edim from those places to visit Eretz Yisrael and validate the signatures. If the whole concern is that the husband may claim these signatures are forged, it'll be easy enough if the get is being brought from Rechem and Cheger, it'll be easy enough to bring the Edim from Rechem and Cheger, those places are close to Eretz Yisrael. As we learned on the mission, actually, it doesn't have to be those Edim themselves. It can be other people who know those. It can be other people who know them and can testify that we recognize their signatures, etc. The Rambam actually summarizes, by the way, in when it comes to the regular
when it comes to regular kiyum shtaris, when it comes to the regular idea of how Beis Din has to validate signatures, you actually have, the Rambam describes, we learned about it a little bit in Ksubis, you actually have five different ways that are valid in halacha to validate them. You can have the Edim themselves come, you can have other people come who testify that they recognize their signatures. Beis Din might have the signatures on file from previous shtaris and they can compare, and so on and so forth. So you have several different ways. So the same way, Rambam Gamliel is going to say it, so at the time of Kama, rather, we'll say over here, Rechem and Cheger are in Chutz Laaretz. That is true. Technically, they're not part of Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, it will be easy enough to have the Edim or somebody who knows the Edim's signatures come to Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael and certify the signatures. So therefore, no problem. But also Rav Gamliel Lameimer. Now Rav Gamliel comes and argues and says, again, Muvlois Shchichi. Sure, when it's places that are Muvlois, that are embedded within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, again, where they're surrounded on three sides by Eretz Yisrael territory, Shchichi, then they're commonly enough, they'll visit Eretz Yisrael commonly enough to be able to certify their signatures. Smuchos Lois Shchichi, but if they're just neat, so therefore Kvaludim, it will be fine. But Rechem and Cheger, which are only near the territory of Eretz Yisrael, but not Muvla, Lois Shchichi, the people from there are not going to commonly enough visit Eretz Yisrael for it to work out. But also Rabbi Eliezer Lameima, and then Rabbi Eliezer comes and says another point, Muvlois Nami Loi, even the Muvlois, even though it's true, the people from there will easily be visiting Eretz Yisrael all the time. People from Kfar Ludim, for example, are constantly going to be visiting Lud. Nevertheless, Nami Loi, then we're still not going to say that they can get away without this declaration for the same reason, Shalitachot Medina Sayyam, in order that you don't start making distinctions between Medina Sayyam, between one area of Medina Sayyam and another. But in fact, so again, all the opinions in the Mishnah could work out equally well according to Rava's reason. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tna. Let's look at the next part of the Mishnah and see if maybe we can relate that next part to the Machlokas of Rava and Rava. Tnan, we continue in the Mishnah. V'chachamim oimrim. Now, after we had the Tanakama, we had Rav Gamliel, we had Rav Eliezer. Now we have V'chachamim oimrim. These chachamim obviously are different than the chachamim that we had before. So altogether, we have a four, on the face of it, then we have a four-way machloikas in the Mishnah. And the Gemara later on is going to call these chachamim Rabbanan Basroi, meaning the later chachamim in the sense that they're later in the Mishnah. They're not necessarily later chronologically. They may have lived at the same time as the Tanakhama, but they're mentioned later in the Mishnah, and therefore they're called Rabbanan Basroi. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, so only when does somebody have to say b'fanenechtam, only if he's bringing a get from Medina Sayyam, v'hamoylech, or if he's bringing a get away from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Sayyam. So before we use the expression mevi to refer to when the person is bringing the get from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, and moylech, for when he's going in the opposite direction, coming from Chutzlar, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaretz. The reason behind that is the Chassam Sofer actually gives an explanation, very simple. The Tana of the Mishnah lived in Eretz Yisrael. Most of the Tanoim lived in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, from his point of view, anyone who's bringing a get to Eretz Yisrael is bringing it, and anyone who's taking it elsewhere is Moilich, is bringing it elsewhere. Anyway, the later Chachamim in the Mishnah had said that if a person is bringing from Medina Sayyam or from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Sayyam, either way he needs to say b'fanenechtam. So let's consider Miklal the Tanakama Sava Moilech Lo Tzarech. So the implication is the Tanakama would say that if a person is bringing a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, he doesn't need to say b'fanenechtam. My lab bahokamifli. So shouldn't we say that is the underlying machlokas between the earlier chachamim in the Mishnah and the later chachamim? Demar sava lefish ein b'kiyam lishma. So the Tanakama is going to hold the reason for the takana is because they're not familiar with lishma, and therefore vahani gmiri. The people of Eretz Yisrael are knowledgeable in it. Therefore, if you bring a get from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Sayyam, there's no need to say b'fanenechtam because we'll know automatically that a get that's being brought from Eretz Yisrael was written Lashma, because we know the people of Eretz Yisrael are familiar with that concept. Whereas the Rabban and Basroi, the later Chachamim, are going to hold that the reason behind versus Rabbi Gamliel versus Rabbi Eliezer are not necessarily arguing about the reason behind the takana. They're just arguing, are people in city, what they're just arguing on the actual mitzius, are the people in Rabbi Gamliel, he's arguing on the actual mitzius, are the people in Rechem and Cheger knowledgeable enough in Lishma, or are they not? Or are they easily enough able to come to Eretz Yisrael to testify about their signatures, or are they not? And Rabbi Gamliel would say, and Rabbi Eliezer rather would say, Shalai Tachlik b'midinas hayam. But now we're saying, so fine, we could say that so far the first three opinions in the Mishnah work according to either Rabbah or Rabbah. But the fourth opinion, on the face of it, it seems to be that they and the Tanna Kamma are arguing about precisely Rabbah and Rabbah's point. The Gemara says no. Also, Rabbah mataritz atame, Rabbah mataritz atame. No, you could also say that Rabbah will find a way to make all of the opinions work according to his understanding, and Rava will make them work according to his understanding. Rabbah mataritz atame, so Rabbah will go according to his shita and explain like this: the kula alma lafishayed b'kiyam lishma. Everybody will agree that the problem that necessitated the takana in the first place of b'fanei nechtam is the fact that not everybody is familiar, that people in Medinas Hayam are not familiar with the din of lishma. So therefore, so now in principle, then when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael, that shouldn't be an issue. V'hacha b'gzeiras moilich otur mevi kamifli. The machloikas is only, are we going to, the machloikas is only, are we going to say that we make a gzera, we make an additional part of the gzera, that we have to make this takana and say b'fanei nechtam, even when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, in order, because otherwise people will confuse it with the other way around. If you see that a person bringing a get from Eretz Yisrael does not to Chutz La'aretz, does not need to say b'fanei nechtam, then people are going to jump to conclusions and say that vice versa is also true, and then the whole takana will fall away. Usually, by the way, we say that the Chacham don't make a gzera l'gzera. That once the Chacham make one gzera, they don't make a second gzera to back up the first one. But there are many times in Shas where the Gemara itself will say, or if the Gemara doesn't say, then Rishonim will explain that kula chod gzera he. It's really all one big gzera, because the whole gzera, if you tried to make one part of the gzera without the other, it might not last, because people wouldn't understand the distinction, and therefore the whole gzera would end up falling away. So that's how it will be here. For example, you would say that according to Rabbah, in principle, it's true. The only time you should need to is when you're bringing from Chutz La'aretz. But if you do that, then what happens is, if people see that you only need to in one direction and not the other, then they're going to end up being careless with the other direction either. So the Tanna Kamma sub loigas min and moilach al tumevi. So the Tanna Kamma will say, I don't hold that that's a problem. There's no need to make such a gzera. So therefore, it's fine to just say it when you bring it from Medinas Hayam. V'rabbanan basroi, whereas the later chachamim in the Mishnah Savri, they will hold gazrin and moilach al tumevi, that we do have to make a gzera, because if you don't, you even when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael, because otherwise you may confuse it with the case where you're bringing from Chutz La'aretz. So that would be the whole machloekas, because they wouldn't actually be arguing on the fundamental point of why the gzera exists, but rather they're arguing how far do we have to extend this gzera to make sure that it gets upheld. The Tanna Kamma will hold you don't have to extend it any further, and the Rabbanan Basroi will hold that you do. The Rava Mataritza Taime, Rava then will explain the opinions in the Mishnah according to his Shita. He'll say, "Dekulei Alma Lafishein Eidim Mitzuyin L'Kaima." Everybody is going to agree that the reason behind the Takana is because you won't be able to easily find Eidim to certify the signatures. And then it comes out, says Rava, "V'Rabbanan Basroi L'Farushay Taime Tanna Kamma U'Da'osu." The later Chachamim are not coming to argue on the Tanna Kamma like Rava would say. They are actually saying they're just coming to clarify what he's saying. The Tanna Kamma had only said, when you're bringing from Medinas Hayam, which the implication, you might have misunderstood it to mean that if you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael, that if you're carrying it away from Eretz Yisrael to Medinas Hayam, you shouldn't need to say it. So now that Rabbanan Basroi are informing you, don't think that way. As a matter of fact, the same din also applies in the other direction. And the reason would be, again, and the reason would be not as because of a gzera even, but because if the whole point is she'ein edim mitzurim l'kaimai, and that concern applies equally well whether you're coming from Chutz La'aretz or whether you're coming from Eretz Yisrael. So the Rashba, by the way, brings up a point. He says, well, then it comes now, according to Rava, then what is the meaning of the wording that the Rabban and Basroi are using? They're saying that a person does not need to say b'fana nechtam, unless he's bringing from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, or unless he's taking from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. If the Rabbanan Basroi are coming to clarify what the Tanakhama is saying and to add an extra chumrah over what he's saying that you might not have realized from the Tanakhama's wording, then instead of saying ein et sorich, it should have said sorich sheyomim b'fana nechtam. So how can we say that they're explaining what the Tanakhama says? And the Rashba answers that their Eidet Sorech is really not referring back to the Tanakhama, it's referring back to Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer. So Rav Gamliel is saying that even Muvois, is saying that even Smuchos, rather, have to say it. Rav Eliezer is saying that even Muvlois have to say it. And now that Rabban and Basroi are coming and saying, no, Smuchas and Mavlois, you don't have to worry about. Ein et Sorich, you don't have to when you bring from those places. Ella, only you should know when the Tanakhama said, when you bring it from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, it also includes when you bring it from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, but only when there's a concern of, Ein Eidim et Sorin Lakaimai. And we, Rabban and Basroi, are saying that there's no problem with that with Smuchas and Mavlois respectively, and therefore that you don't need to say b'fana nechtam when you bring it from Smuchas or from Mavlois. Okay. The fact is, though, the Ksav Sofer points out that this answer is a little bit of a doichak, really, which is why the Gemara, which is why in Rabbah, in explaining Rabbah, the Gemara didn't want to use this reason. Instead, in explaining Rabbah, the Gemara preferred to say that there is, in fact, a multi-way machlokas over here, because this explanation that the later Chachamim are only coming to clarify is a bit of a doichak. So fine, according to Rabbah, there's no choice. According to Rabbah, the alternative is to say that there's machlokas, and we would rather do that because that's the more straightforward meaning of their opinion. The Gemara continues. Now, let's look at another part of our Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, how maybe get medina la medina bi medina sayam. If a person brings a get from one country to another within medina sayam, or not from within, from one country to another within medina sayam. And he still has to say the declaration. So the Gemara says, so the implication is that if you're bringing it within one country in the Nesayam, then you wouldn't need to say the Takana. Rashi, by the way, adds the point that Ba'osim Medina means from one city to another. In other words, the implication is, according to Rashi, that we're saying that within one Medina, even though you're bringing it from one city to another, and you could conceivably be concerned that people in one city might be familiar with the din, and people in another city might not, or rather, when you're going from one city to another, according to Rava's reason, again, the issue is that you may not have Edim Mitsuyim Lakaim. You would say that within one city you can all you have Edim Mitzuyim Lakaimai, but not necessarily from one city to another. Rashi says the implication of a city to another, you wouldn't need to make a declaration. Tosfos, in fact, discusses that point and says, why would that be? I mean, even if you're from one city to another, wouldn't you have the same issue? Anyway, the point is that we're saying that if you bring from one Medina to another, then you need to say the last part of the Mishnah is saying you need to say b'fana nechtam, ha ba'osim medinim medinas yam loy tzarech, implying that if you're within one country, you don't need to. Well, the Rava Micha, according to Rava, then that's very easy to understand. The reason why you need b'fana nechtam is because ein edim mitzuyin l'kaim, right? Well, very well. If you're within one country, then edim, it's relatively easy to find edim mitzuyin l'kaim, right? So therefore, it's not such a problem that you should need to be able to make this declaration if the husband comes and starts protesting that I didn't give this get, or the signatures are forged, or what have you. It'll be easy enough to bring edim to substantiate that these signatures are valid, and that everything was done on the up and up. L'rabba kasha, but according to Rabba, isn't it a problem? According to Rabba, if the whole reason is the problem of that they're not familiar with the dinim of lishma, then how does it help that you're within one country? The fact is, within that one country, they may not be familiar with the din. So why shouldn't you need to say it? And the answer, so the Gemara answers, loy tema ha ba'osim adinim of dinasiyam loy tzarech. No, you're making a wrong inference from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not implying that. Within one Medina and Medina Sayyam, you shouldn't need to say it. As a matter of fact, Rabba would explain that the Mishnah means even if you're within one Medina and Medina Sayyam, you're still going to have to say b'fana nechtam, because the fact is, the problem is that they don't know Lishma, and we have to assume that everybody in that country is not familiar with that din. So what is the Mishnah implying by mentioning Mimedina Limedina, which seems to be as opposed to within one Medina? So Ela Ema, rather say, what you should infer from the wording of the Mishnah is Mimedina Limedina Be'eretz Yisrael Loitzarech. Within Eretz Yisrael, if you're going from one country to another in Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechtam, because everybody in Eretz Yisrael is familiar with the din, and therefore you don't need to say it. So, in other words, you're saying because the Mishnah had said Medina l'Medina b'Medina Sayyam, you're trying to infer from that there's a difference within Medina Sayyam between from one Medina to another versus within one Medina. Rabbi would say, no, that's not the inference you should derive from the Mishnah. The inference you should derive is Medina l'Medina, or even within one Medina in Chutz La'aretz, you do have to say. When do you not have to say? When do you not have to say? Only when you're in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're going Medina LaMedina. So that would be the implication to derive from it. So therefore, that fits well with that with Rabbi's Shitta. Well, the Gemara says, well then why? Which in that case, Tosfos says, in that case, so why does the Mishnah have to say anything about Medina LaMedina at all? It should just say, if you're bringing within one Medina and Medina Sayyam, then you have to say it, implying an Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need. And the answer is, because otherwise you would think, maybe Medina LaMedina, Eretz Yisrael, maybe we should pay attention to Rava's reason and say that you should need to. So right now, at this stage of the Gemara, we're saying that you don't need to at all, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. Now, eventually, the Gemara is going to finally get to, on Daf Vav, the Gemara is going to end up saying that Rava does agree that Rava's reason is a consideration, and we do have to take it in mind. So therefore, it comes out, according to that, that in fact, we can say the Mishnah had very good reason to mention Medina LaMedina, Medina Sayyam, in order to show that because, in fact, in Eretz Yisrael, from one Medina to another, you might have to say it, because then you have the problem of Ein Edim Mitzuyin L'Kaima. Right now, the Gemara doesn't know that point yet. We're only going to develop that point later on Daf Vav. So right now, we can assume that Rabba would say that the inference from the Mishnah is not that there's a difference in Eretz Yisrael between one Medina or within one Medina or across Medinas, but rather than Chutz La'aretz, there's always a difference whether the difference would be between Chutz La'aretz, where you always need to say it, whether you're in one Medina or going from one to the other, versus Eretz Yisrael, where you never need to, whether you're going from one Medina or within one to another or within one Medina.
Historically, from Yehuda to Israel, the kingdom of Yehuda to the kingdom of Israel, did they say it or not?
Well, this takana, like most takanas of the Chachamim in general, were made during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. It's very possible that this takana, b'fana nechtam, did not exist yet during the time when you had Malchus Yisrael versus Malchus Yehuda. So whether they did at that time might be a moot point, because they may not have needed to. The better question to ask really would be, when you're in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, if you wanted to travel from Yehuda to Galil,
It was not always so easy to, and we touched on that in the Mishnah, because you had the middle part of Eretz Yisrael, more or less what's now considered the West Bank, was in the hands of the Kusim, and a lot of times it was difficult to travel through there. So yeah, there was that consideration, and the Gemara is going to bring up that point later on. But yeah, as far as what you're asking, as far as the first Beis HaMikdash, we don't even know whether this takana existed. It may not have existed until the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, in which case, when the two kingdoms existed, it may have been a moot point. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Habehedya katani la? What do you mean, according to Rabbah, you need to infer from the wording of the Mishnah that if you bring a get within Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta? You don't need an inference. It says flat out in the Mishnah. Hamevi get be'eretz Yisrael in its tzarech loymar b'fanenechtam. That if you bring a get within Eretz Yisrael, even from one medina to another, within Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need to. Then you don't need to say b'fanenechtam. So you don't need to infer it from the wording of the Mishnah about. You don't need to infer it from the wording about medina la medina in medina seyam, and therefore infer from that in Eretz Yisrael it doesn't make a difference. We see it flat out from the Mishnah. The answer is, the Gemara says, Imeahi. Sure, but if you only had that Havamina, then you would have thought Hanimida Dieved. Maybe that din would apply only b'dieved. The Chachamim are not going to go so far as to say that if you bring a get in Eretz Yisrael from point A to point B, the Shliach brought a get, and it turns out he wasn't there for the writing of it, and it's already a done deal. So we would say b'dieved, maybe we would allow it. But to lachatchila, we would tell him no. We would tell him he has to be there to observe it. But now that we're saying kamash malon, now that the Mishnah is saying that in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say b'fananechtam, then it comes out, in other words, that either lachatchila or b'diyevet, there's no difference. To begin with, we never ask the shliach when he's bringing a get from point A to point B in Eretz Yisrael, even if it's from medina to medina, that he should have to say b'fananechtam. He doesn't need to b'chlal. That's why we need not only the explicit statement in the Mishnah, but also the inference from the Medina and the Medina Sayyam in order to make it clear that it's Lachatchila, and that it's not only Lachatchila and B'diyevet. Rashi, by the way, learns that what the Gemara is saying is if we only had the Reisha, which says that if you're bringing from Medina to Medina, Medina Sayyam, that you don't have to say, then you would say within Eretz Yisrael, it means Chila, you should say, but B'dieved, you don't need to. So now comes the Sefer, when it says, if you bring it in Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to, making it clear, therefore, that you don't even need to, even L'chatchila. And then Tosfos learns the other way around. Tosfos learns that it means if you only had the Sefer, that if it said, maybe get Eretz Yisrael in its Tzorich, you would think it means you don't have to, b'dieved, but l'chatchila you still should. But because you have also the influence from the Reisha about Medina l'Medina, b'dina Sayyam, then therefore that clarifies that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have any need for it, even l'chatchila. And the Tosfos goes on to discuss another way of explaining why you need both of the inferences in the Mishnah, or why you need both the inference and the outright statement. Tosfos points out you could also say that means b'dieved means not when he already brought the get, but b'dieved means when he wasn't there to observe the writing of the get. Versus l'chatchila, we would tell him l'chatchila, you ought to be there. You know you're going to be a shliach. See to it that you're there when the get is written, when it's being brought from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. We're saying that's not necessary. Okay. The Gemara says here's another way.
Tosfos Shita applies the sefer to the ratio.
No, so what we're saying is, according to Rashi, the Gemara is saying, if you only had the Reisha, you would think there's a difference between L'chatchila and B'dieved. Now that we have the Sefer, it tells us there's no difference whether L'chatchila or whether B'dieved, the same din applies. Tosfos says it the other way around. Tosfos's first explanation is that it's the other way around. We're saying that if you only had the Sefer, you would think there's a difference between L'chatchila and B'dieved. The Reisha comes and informs us that there's no difference between L'chatchila or B'dieved. You're not required, even whether you brought the get already or whether you haven't brought the get yet, you're not required to say anything. And according to Tosfos, the second point is when we're going to tell the shliach, you're not even obligated to be there to watch the get being written because you're bringing it from only one place to another in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there's no issue any. There's not going to be an issue any. Okay.
Within Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, how does it apply to today's situation when
situation is a good question. We can't, the truth is the Gemara is going to mention later on that even in Chutz La'aretz, eventually they became more knowledgeable in these halachas, and therefore not necessarily did this din of b'fanenechtam continue to apply, because eventually the B'nai Chutz La'aretz also learned these dinim. So that might be the case. The truth is how much of these dinim apply nowadays when a person is bringing a get from point A to point B? I'm not actually sure. I mean, the dinim are brought in Shulchan Aruch, but in practice, whether we actually require it, I don't know. When we get to the end of the sugya, then we can talk about more what the practical din is nowadays. It says in Shulchan Aruch that nowadays even in Eretz Yisrael you need to say b'fanenechtam, because not necessarily are all the Bnei Eretz Yisrael baki in these dinim either. And in those times in Eretz Yisrael, nowadays, the minhag is, even when you bring a get within the neighborhood, you still say on a nech. Sometimes the Ramos on to say, sometimes the shliach brings along with him not just the get, but also a hashah, also a power of attorney that has certification on it, as who are the edim of the get. So in that case, you don't need to say anything because you have that hashah, makes it clear that Bistin knew what they were doing, and Yeshayim that even that. The myth is that nevertheless, when anytime you're doing it with a shliach, you say b'fanenechtam. All of this, keep in mind, all of this is only when the get is being brought by a third party. The most of the time when a get is given, you usually have the husband gives it directly to the wife in the presence of the edim, and obviously then you don't need to say anything at all. What we're talking about over here is you have a get that was written in one place and is being delivered in a different place, so then you have to make sure that the based in that arranged the get knows what they're doing, or that you have edim available to certify it according to Rabba's and Rabba's reasons respectively. All right, anyway, let's go on. The Gemara continues. The Ikka de Moisiv Lahochi. Now, so far we have the Gemara had tried to bring a question from the inference of the Mishnah on Rabba. So now instead the Gemara is going to bring another version of the inference that becomes a question on Rabba, which is going to have to be answered. So we said like this. The Mishnah had said again that if a person is bringing from Medina to Medina in Medina Sayyam, he needs to say b'fanenechtam. The implication is ha Medina la Medina be'Eretz Yisrael lo tzarech. So the implication is if you bring it from one country to Eretz Yisrael from one country to another within Eretz Yisrael, then you don't need to say anything. So the Rabba Nicha, according to Rabba, that's easy to understand because all Bnei Eretz Yisrael know the dinim. The Rava Kasha, but according to Rava, it would be a question if the problem is Ein Edim Mitzurim Lakaima, then you have the fact is that when you're going from one Medina to another in Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to have Edim available necessarily. In fact, Rashi points out, Rashi says, why doesn't the Gemara ask clearly from the Sefer? The Sefer clearly says, if you bring it within Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to say, the Gemara could have asked, how does that fit according to Rava's Shitta? The reason is because the Reisha mentions the word Medina la Medina, the Sefer does not. So if you were going to ask directly from the Sefer on Rava, then Rava would say, you know what the Mishnah is talking about when you bring within one Medina, within Eretz Yisrael. Then, of course, Edom are easy enough to find, therefore there's no problem. So therefore, the Gemara would rather be Medayah from the Reisha, where it says the words Medina la Medina, and the assumption is that same Medina la Medina in Chutz La'aretz, you need to say implying, but within Eretz Yisrael you don't. But according to Rava, why should there be that distinction? Anytime you're going from one Medina to another, you should need to say b'fanenechtam, because Ein Edim Mitzurim L'Kaimim. So So Rashi goes on to add another point as well that still we don't want to just do a question from the diuk of the Lashon of the Mishnah and the Sefer, better to do a diuk of the Lashon in the Reisha. In other words, given that if you're going to have to make the question depend on a diuk rather than an explicit statement, then you may as well use the Reisha because that's earlier in the Mishnah. Okay. So anyways, that's the question on Rava. And the answer would be, again, don't say that the inference is that if you bring it from one Medina and out to another in Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to say. Rather, the inference would be the other way around. Hob oisa Medina. But the inference is if you bring within one Medina, the Medina sayam, then you don't need to. According to Rava, that's explained very nicely because you have plenty of edim available within one Medina in Medina sayam. So the Gemara says, what? So what are you going to say then? If you're bringing within one from one Medina to another in Eretz Yisrael, what are you going to say? Tzarech. Then you do need to say b'fanenechtam according to Rava. Well, then why mention anything about chutz la'aretz? Listening, I may be Medina la'Medina stam. Just say a person brings from one Medina to another without saying anything about Medina Sayyam versus Eretz Yisrael, and it'll be obvious. The reason is because anytime you're going from one Medina to another is ein edim mitzuyin l'kaimon. The fact that it's saying Medina Medina, but Medina Sayyam, you have to say, implying but an Eretz Yisrael you don't, seems to be a question on Rava. So the Gemara answers, La'olam Medina Medina, but Eretz Yisrael nami like tzarech. As a matter of fact, Rava will answer that when you're going from one country to another within Eretz Yisrael, in fact, you're going to say you don't have to say b'fanenechtam. What about the problem of that people don't travel commonly enough from one part to another, and therefore you're not going to have Eden Mitzvah in the time, right? The answer is no. Given the Ika Ola Regalim, since you have people who are Ola Regal from all over Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it'll be common enough that people are traveling from point A to point B, and therefore that you'll be able to find, and therefore you'll be able to find Eden. So anytime you have a get coming from one place to another in Eretz Yisrael, then you won't have to say, because it's true, most of the year people are not going to be traveling, let's say between the Galil and Yehuda, like we were saying before, because of the Kusim, but for Aliyah L'Regel they will, and therefore you'll find Eidim Mitzuyin L'Kaim. An interesting point, by the way, is an interesting side point. There's a famous Tosfos in Psachim. You have the Gemara tells at the beginning of Psachim the famous story of a goy who disguised himself as a Jew, and every year he would go and join in eating the Korban Pesach. And one time he brags to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda about how he's getting away with it, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda lays a trap for him. He tells him to ask for the fat tail of the animal, and they tell him the fat tail was supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach, and they realize something's afoot over here, and they found out eventually that he was a goy. So Tosfos asked the question, why did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda need to use that method? Why couldn't he just go to Yerushalayim himself and tell them, I know who this guy is, and unmask him and let him deal with it there? And Tosfos' answer is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda did not have a requirement to go on Aliyah L'Regel. So everybody asked, because he lived in Chutz La'aretz. So everybody asked, where does Tosfos get that from? That a person in Chutz La'aretz should not be required to go on Aliyah L'Regel. Where is Tosfos getting such an idea from? So now, actually, so the Cheshek Shloimeh explains Tosfos is getting it from our Gemara. Because our Gemara is saying that only within Eretz Yisrael are we saying that people are Ola Regel, and therefore that you're going to have Eidim Mitzuyin L'Kaimo, implying, but from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, not. Because the B'nai Chutz La'aretz are not required to come on Aliyah L'Regel. So that could be a source for where Tosfos gets that point from. Anyway, so the Gemara says,
Aside from the fact that it was really Sakanas Nefashas to travel from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa.
Not necessarily. So it depends on times and places. I mean, listen, you know, it's Israel itself. Sometimes there was Sakonis Nefoshes also, but the Tosfos is saying a blanket statement that B'nai Chutz La'aretz are not required to do Aliyah L'Regel. So where are they getting that from? So here you have it. Shlomo Kluger gives this one answer. Anyway. The Gemara goes on, Tenach Bizman Shabis Mikdash Kayam. Fine, that explains things when the Bis Mikdash is standing. You have Ulur Regal. Bizman Shain Bis Mikdash Kayam Michael Maimer. What are you going to say when there's no Bis Mikdash? Then there's no Ulur Regal. The Gemara answers, fine. kibbutz now. The truth is, there are mafarshim who mention that even after, and in historical books, you find also that even after the Churban, there were, when possible, Jews would try to ascend to the site of the Beis Mikdash, to the ruins of the Beis Mikdash, to daven over there. Nevertheless, though, obviously, you didn't have as much of it as you had before. But the Gemara answer is still, kibbutz de ikka bati dinin de kvi, since you have the takana of Ezra, that the dinim should be sitting on a regular basis in the cities on Mondays and Thursdays, therefore, all over Eretz Yisrael, mishach tichi, so therefore, common enough, you're going to have enough people traveling from point A to point B, because people are going from one place to another to visit the bati dinim, so therefore, even from one medina to another, you're going to be able to get away without saying b'fana nechta. That might be another reason for the din in Shulchan Aruch, that nowadays that din doesn't apply, because nowadays you don't necessarily have bati dinim in every place in Eretz Yisrael. Or so certainly, you know, you don't have necessarily people are traveling from one part to another to do that. Fine. The Gemara says, here is another point from our Mishnah that we need to explain according to Rabbah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rab Shimon Gamliel, afilu mehegmunya lehegmunya. Rab Shimon Gamliel says, that even if you bring a get from one hegmunia to another, a hegmunia, we said on the Mishnah, is an area ruled over by a particular duke or nobleman or whatever. The word hegmon comes from a Greek word meaning a ruler. So even from that, you'd still have to say b'fana nechtam, and v'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. And Rabbi Yitzchak clarifies what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mean by that. What's an example of mehegmunia lehegmunia? He says ir achas hoyse b'Eretz Yisrael. There was a particular city in Eretz Yisrael. And Tosfos points out, you have to say, of necessity, it was in, by the way, Tosfos, as far as this matter of Oler or Golden, by the way, Tosfos points out that in other areas of Halacha, as far as the dinim of Macha, of Chazaka, we do actually say, for example, that Yehuda and Galil are considered like there's a constant state of warfare between them, because it's not so easy to travel from one to the other. But the Tosfos explains that there's reason to distinguish between over there, a person who makes macha in one place, he may not find out about it. If he makes macha in one place, a person may not find out about it in another place, and vice versa. But when it comes to looking for Edim, they'll manage to do it even between Yehuda and Golan. Anyway, so now as far as Hagmunya la Hagmunya, so there was a particular city in Eretz Yisrael, and Tosfos points out of necessity it had to be in Eretz Yisrael, because if it was in Chutz La'aretz, then you'd have to say b'fana nechtam anyhow. At least according to Rabbah. There was a particular city in Eretz Yisrael. The name of the city was Asosius. There were two rulers in the different parts of the city who were makbid one on another, and they had, so to speak, an iron curtain between one part of the city and the other, and they didn't easily allow people to travel from one part to another. Therefore, the Chacham had to say that when you're taking a get from one hegmonia to the other in this city, then you'd still need to say b'fana nechtam. So now, the Rava Micha, according to Rava, it's easy to understand why, because the whole point is because of these two dukes who are fighting it out at one another. So therefore, it's not easy to travel from one to the other, so you don't have Edom Mitzuyim Lekaim. The Rava Kasha, but according to Rava, then it's a Kasha. According to him, why should it be necessary? In both Hegmonias, they know the din of Lashma, so what's the problem? And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua adds, you can't say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking only l'chatchila and b'diyevet it would be fine, because if all the Tanoim that we said so far were requiring it even b'diyevet, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Pashtus, is saying also b'diyevet. And then also the Ritva points out that if we're going to say all this time that Tanakama is saying that the reason is Lashma, then it's where we're going to all of a sudden say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that the reason is a different reason. You don't really have that in so many words in his statement. Or you're going to say all of a sudden he brings up the matter of Kiyum that nobody thought of until now, so therefore it's less likely that that's the root of their machlokes. So the Rava Michal, the Rava Kasha, according to Rava, it's easy to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. According to Rava, it's a question. The answer is, the Gemara says, Rava Islay de Rava. The answer is, as a matter of fact, Rava does agree that Rava's reason is a valid reason as well. In other words, you have Rava saying the only reason is because ain't any material time, right? Rava is saying there were actually two reasons. Till now, we thought that Rava says there's only one. Till now, we thought he's ignoring Rava's reason. Now we're going to say that no, in fact, he agrees that Rava's reason is a valid consideration, and therefore he holds that you need both when you have a concern of lishma or when you have a concern of ain't material time, right? Then you need to say b'fana nechta b'fana nechta. But if you have neither of those considerations, do you not have to say it? Well, then that's so now that changes a lot of what we said so far in the sugya. There were a number of things that we said so far that are predicated on the idea that Rabbah does not hold of Rabbah's reason. Now we're saying he holds of it, and that explains Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion in the case of the two hagmonis. For example, when we said before that according to Rabbah, the Tanakama and the Rabbanan Basroi are arguing, and according to Rava, the one is clarifying the other. Now, according to Rava, we would say the same thing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, well, in Elamai Benayu, well, then what's the practical difference between the two reasons? According to, if Rabbah holds that of both reasons, then when is there going to be a case where he holds that you'd need to say b'fana nechtav, and Rava would say that not, or vice versa? The answer is ikka b'nayu d'asru b'etre. We still have the reason. And Tosfos points out a couple of things. First of all, Tosfos points out, first of all, earlier in the Gemara on Daf Gimel, we mention a point that when Rava had given his reason, we said that Rava had said the reason why you have to say both b'fanin nechtav and b'fanin nechtam, even though in principle, according to Rava, all you need is to validate the signatures, is because otherwise people are going to think it's like a regular kiyum shtaris. Now, Rava would say that fine, the Chachamim wouldn't have said to say b'fanin nechtav if it was only that consideration. Once they're saying because of Lashma, then they also say that even in Eretz Yisrael, then you also need to say b'fanin nechtam when you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz and so forth. Tosfos makes another point as well, before we answer in the Gemara, that you have Ola Regalim. So you still have there, the Gemara didn't ask Mai Benayu, because there would be a difference. You could say we're in places where there's no fixed butted in him, or places where it's hard to travel from one to the other, then you'd need. Now, though, the Gemara is asking, once we say that Rabbah agrees with Rabbah's reason, and even when everybody knows of Lashma, as long as there's any problem traveling from one to the other, then you still have to say it. Then according to Rabbah, where is there a case where you wouldn't have to say it? And the answer is, it could be now that's you a betre. One difference would be if two shluchim brought it from Medina Sayam. So according to Rabbah, there's no problem here at all. So according to Rabbah, the concern is that it wasn't Lashma, because he says anybody in Medina Sayam is not familiar with Lashma. So therefore you need to say, according to Rabbah, they themselves are Mitsuyan Lakaimoi, so therefore they don't need to say Inami, but Usa Medina Sayam, or when they're bringing it within one country in Medina Sayam. So therefore, again, you have the problem where they're not familiar with Lashma, and therefore they need to say, according to Rabbah, there's no problem at all because he's not concerned about Lashma, and you do have Aiden Mitsuyan Lakaimoi, so therefore you're good, and therefore, according to him, you don't need to say it at all. So, now that we got to that point, now that we understand that Rabbah agrees with Rava's Shitta, but not vice versa, now we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with analyzing Rabbah's and Rava's Shittas further and deriving more details of them. Meshkayach.